Well, hello, podcast listeners, and happy Easter. We're back for a special podcast-only edition because it's the week of the three Northern European spring classics, the Ronde van Vlaanderen, the Gent Wevelgem, and, of course, the queen of the classics, Paris-Roubaix, which is taking place tomorrow, this podcast going out on Easter Saturday. Despite what you heard on the April Fool's special last week, the podcast will be back over the summer. And as part of the preparations for the return to the airwaves, we're conducting a short listener survey online, basically to find out who's listening to the show, what kind of things they enjoy, what kind of things they don't enjoy, what do they want to see more of, what do they want to hear less of, just as a way of shaping the upcoming season to what people want to hear, basically. So quite a few people have already taken the survey, but it's important that we get as many people to take it as possible. So if you're listening to this and you haven't yet taken the listener survey, it will take you a matter of moments. It really is not long, only 10 questions. And you can do that by going to the Bike Show's website, www.thebikeshow.net, and you'll see the listener survey post, and you just click through on that, and you can take the survey online. So thanks very much for doing that. Thanks again for listening to the Bike Show. Let's head off to the Ronde van Vlaanderen.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome on board this Eurostar to Ashford, Lille and Mont-la-Vallée-Chercy, the station for Disneyland Paris. Could you please make sure that your luggage does not block any of the aisles or doorways? As there are quite a few passengers boarding at Ashford, could you please make sure you only occupy the seats that are indicated on your ticket? We wish you a very pleasant journey on board this Eurostar. Thank you.
Under the English Channel, I took the Molten in two pieces, put him into a couple of homemade bags. We made a short stop at Ashford to pick up a few dozen overexcited children on their way to Disneyland Paris, because that's where this train is headed, and they're all on board, kind of bouncing around the carriages, because the only thing that's separating them from a personal audience with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck is a 2-hour train journey, and I've not got too much of the train journey left. I'm getting off at Lille, from where I am going to be cycling north out of Lille through the suburbs. Hope to pop in at the venerable velodrome of Roubaix before heading up to where the Ronde takes place, and finding out what it's like to watch some Flemish cycle racing. I'm really excited. You wouldn't know it, but I'm standing on one of the most hallowed pieces of ground in professional cycle sport. I'm at the Velodrome in Roubaix, which is the finishing point of the Paris-Roubaix one-day classic, the queen of the classics, one of the greatest bicycle races there is, probably the greatest one day bicycle race there is. I headed north out on a very nice cycle lane along the Avenue de Flandre to Roubaix out of Lille, and kind of followed my nose and then picked up the signs to the velodrome where I'm standing now. And as if in a benediction of my arrival here for the bike show at the velodrome in Roubaix, the sun has just burst through the thick covering of mist, and we now have an absolutely gorgeous blue sky emerging. And I was able to just walk straight out here onto the track. It's a pretty big track, kind of concrete. The sound you can hear in the background, I think, is a couple of blokes and a van with a power hose who are giving it a good old scrub down, because the race will be here, the Paris-Roubaix race will be here. And in the middle of the velodrome, there's a rugby field and a few advertising hoardings on the track. Just stepping out onto the track now. It's a kind of concrete. It's pretty basic. It's, you know, not that much different from Herne Hill. The fellas who were cleaning the track just back then, one of them came over to me and we had a little chat about this and that. I explained why I was here. And he said, well, go and take a look at the showers. The showers that so memorably feature at the end of Jürgen Leith's classic film of the Paris-Roubaix in the 1970s, A Sunday in Hell. The showers which have remained unchanged throughout the history of this velodrome. And so I'm hanging around here to see if that's going to be possible.
Alors pour faire plaisir, logiquement j'ai pas le droit. Je vais parler doucement parce que vous, enfin vous comprenez pas français. Vous, vous allez monter sur votre vélo, vous allez sur le bleu.
D'accord.
Et moi je vais droit et je récupère là-bas.
Parfait.
Ok. Et la ligne d'arrivée elle est là.
Oui oui, merci à vous.
Ah oui, faites une photo de la ligne d'arrivée. Ok.
Ok. Well, listeners, this is quite exceptional. I am actually cycling now on the track of the velodrome in Roubaix. The manager here seemed to like the cut of my jib and sent me off. Said, stay on the inside, follow the blue bit, don't go up the banking. Very sensible advice, especially with my long touring cranks. And here I am, going around the edge. I think about a tenth of the speed of Tom Boonen. But gives me a feeling of what it must be like. How exciting. Gosh. Dernière place, Lanterne Rouge.
Alors, l'entrée se fait ici.
Oui.
Les coureurs arrivent ici sur ma gauche. Ils font comme ça. Ils font deux tours. Voilà.
Well, we've just come round the back of the velodrome, opposite from the grandstand, and we've entered into a building which is really falling apart, and this is where the riders come through. It's little more than a car park, and the keys that unlock the door are jingling away.
Allez-y.
Merci.
Vous avez tous les noms. Je ne sais pas si vous voulez les deux parties, mais c'est ce qui est ici, c'est là-bas. Et vous avez tous les noms des coureurs qu'ils ont menés.
Tous les vainqueurs.
Voilà. Je vous laisse faire et votre commentaire.
Well, we've come in, and you can probably hear the echo. There's a terrific echo here, and there are the various stalls made out of concrete, very, very basic, with a blue painted ceiling, neon lights, and on all of the stalls where the people might change, there's a brass plaque with the name of a rider and the years in which he won. Stuart O'Grady here, winner in 2007. Peter Van Petegem over here. Walter Goedevroet, one of the great riders of Belgian cycle sport. Rick van Steenbergen. And here are the showers themselves. Very simple affairs with a chain that you pull and the water just comes out one temperature. The stools are pretty stained and pretty rough and ready, but you can feel the history all around. Now the water's now flowing. And just think of the tired bodies that have bathed themselves under these waters. We can see a little bit of steam rising off now. And just a short ration of water, as if it's all being conserved. Really marvellous, absolutely marvellous. I hope this place stays as it is now for as long as the Paris-Roubaix race is run, because if they change this, then something will be lost of this great race. We've just come in onto the other side where we have an identical set of shower stools with names along the side. Johan Museu here, winner in 96, 2000 and 2002. Magnus Backsted, he's got his stool, 2004. There's a couple of empty ones. Here are the last two empty stools where there's no name. Maybe a new name will be added this year. Eddy Merckx, three times winner. Aha, I found it. This is what I've been looking for. The stall of Roger de Vlaeminck, winner in 1972, 1974, 1975 and 1977. Probably, well, almost certainly the greatest ever champion of this race. And he has a stall here opposite Henri Pélissier, winner of the 1919 race immediately after the First World War, the year that this race got known as the race into the hell of the North, because it was only a matter of months previously that this whole area had been a war zone, a battle zone, where millions died or were brutally injured in the fighting in the First World War. What a marvellous treat this has been to visit the showers of the Velodrome of Roubaix on the bike show.
Sans honte, l'enfant pavé aime les bleus. l'extérieur. Mais chez les hommes, le sexe est faible, ignore les règles aussi quand l'instinct jongle. Devant les corsages, grande volage, le veille, les pulsions, le côté sauvage. Primaire, donc au sommaire, c'est sombre, les preuves et le vice qui s'opère.
After a very pleasant ride north from Roubaix, mostly up with a towpath on a canal, which was a great ride actually, absolutely traffic free, quite a lot of cyclists. I'm now in the outskirts of Audenarde, and I've come to the Koppenberg, which is the infamous cobblestone track that basically goes straight up the side of a hill, and it's very narrow, it's very steep, and it is one of the highlights of the Tour of Flanders. They're already here laying out the barriers on the side of it to keep the crowds out for Sunday's race, but I think there will also be a kind of amateur race tomorrow, Saturday. So there should be some thrills and spills on this hillside. It's very short, but it really kicks up. And because of the cobblestones, they're very hard, uneven, difficult cobblestones. It's very difficult to get any momentum. I came up with my fully loaded bicycle, and I had to walk a small section of it where it really went very steep. But it was quite hard, especially with the small wheels of the Molten, keeping those turning. And there seems to be a steady stream of motorcyclists, bicyclists. You can probably hear in the background here a woman who's pushing her baby up in a pushchair, which I think is pretty valiant. Maybe she lives at the top. Oh, it's very peaceful here. There's a mist kind of descending into the valley of the canal, but I think I've found my spot to camp for the night. There's a field here, doesn't look like anyone's using it for anything. There's no livestock going to interrupt me in the night. And tomorrow I have a rendezvous with a couple of friends who are over, also from London, but they've taken the slackers route. No, they're coming over in a camper van, although I'm hoping they're bringing a couple of bicycles so we can do a bit of exploring. It's pretty dark now, and I've just got back to the spot where my tent is, up here on the hill. I went out for a bite to eat down in Audenarde, and just come back up the hill feeling rather full and satisfied. Not just full with food, but it's been an amazingly full day if you think about it. On the 10 o'clock Eurostar from St Pancras this morning, a lap round the track at the legendary velodrome in Roubaix, followed by a personal tour of those historic showers, and then a ride up the Koppenberg, where I'm camping at the top. And the weekend's not even begun. So all that remains to do tonight, I think, is to tuck into a little bit of Belgian chocolate for dessert, and a nightcap in the form of a Belgian beer, which unfortunately is in a can. Who was it who said beer is for plebs? Was that Buffalo Bill? Nah, I couldn't have been more wrong. Good night. I've come down from my camping spot on the Saturday morning down to the centre of the Ronde van Vlaanderen, which is in Oudenaard, and there's a whole museum here. And adjacent to the museum is a little coffee shop, which is a veritable shrine to the cycling tradition in these parts. The walls are filled with jerseys from the various eras of cycle racing, and lots of photographs and posters and newspaper front pages. And there's a bar that's got every kind of bidon you could hope to find. Quite a place. And I've just spied a group of North Americans who seem to be over for a holiday. I'm going to go and ask them how it's going.
I'm Jamie from Canada.
Lauren from Canada, Toronto.
And Steve from Canada.
I overheard you because when you walked in, one of you said, hey, this place is like Nirvana.
Yeah.
Can you tell me why you said that?
Well, growing up Canadian, all we hear about is hockey, and got into cycling in our late teens, and we don't hear a lot about cycling in Canada at all, but gradually over the last few years, I've started to get into racing and learn more about the history of cycling, and just coming in here and seeing all the jerseys and all the cycling memorabilia is, you know, something that we don't see a lot of back home. So,
it's only a dream, really. You would never see anything like this.
Because the walls are just pasted, aren't they?
Well, here it's the bicycling. It's celebrated in Canada. We're freaks of nature and ridden off the road, and a lot of obscenities thrown at us.
So, what are your first impressions of the cycling scene here in Flanders?
You know, just riding on the cobbles and through the countryside, it's like we're riding on hallowed ground. You know, it's just it's almost like a religious experience for
it's a festival of cycling, and we, you know, for North Americans, it's rare.
And so, what made you decide to come all this way?
It was my idea. I forced these guys. I said it's a necessary evil. You know, we have to get on a plane and come here. We usually go somewhere sunnier, like Mallorca. But I said it was an absolute must to come to Belgium, Tour Flanders. And Jamie and I are going to go and see Paris-Roubaix next week.
And so you're all kitted out in the racing togs, and you've got some pretty smart looking bikes outside by the looks of things. Are you taking part in any of the sportives?
Yeah, later today we hope to poach in the ride. But we're taking it easy right now, just waiting for it. We're gonna let it warm up a little bit and then go hard.
Okay, well, your drinks are arrived, so I'll leave you to it. Anyway, have a great trip.
Thank you.
Now I've been joined by the cavalry, so to speak. William Greswell and Paul Wilson have arrived on the Channel Tunnel from England in the camper van, and we had a nice night camping not too far from the Covermont hill, which is another of the cobblestone hills. But it's to the Koppenberg that we have come today, as have, you know, a good few thousand spectators who are making a bit of a noise because the riders are about to come through in about 15 minutes or so. And it looks like people have been making themselves comfortable. There's plenty of beer available. There's plenty of fried food available. A lot of Belgian flags, a lot of Flemish flags flying. And the sun has come out and it's a glorious day, really. A glorious day for a bike race. So, William.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? You've seen the cobblestone stretches of the Paris-Roubaix, but this is something rather different, isn't it? Because this is adding an incline to the whole affair.
Yeah, it looks like a whole new level of difficulty. It's really narrow and really steep. This bit that we're right next to here is, I mean, same cobbles as Paris-Roubaix, but it's about, I don't know what the incline is, but it's jolly steep. This section in particular is in a big cutting, which we're above, and the riders are going to be going past below us, and I think it could be a bit chaotic if someone comes a cropper.
I mean, what's the strategy for using these hills to your advantage in a race like this?
Getting a low gear at the bottom. I don't think you want to get stuck having to change gear halfway up, otherwise someone's really going to take you, I reckon. But I think you've got to get at the front of a group, haven't you, or get in small groups.
I mean, I think,
you're going up with 40, 50 riders, it's going to be really, really difficult.
It's what you get squashed right in. You can't choose your line. I think if you're in a big group, you have to take the cobbles that are presented to you, and you probably want to use this opportunity to get ahead of your rivals as the race necessarily strings out, because you can't really come up this more than two or three abreast, can you?
No, that's right. So I imagine that for the back half a kilometre or a kilometre before or more, that your team's trying to get you, if you're a contender, either separated or towards the front, so at least you've got a clear run at it.
And if there's a fall here or someone comes unclipped from their pedal and crashes over, which was happening a lot, I have to say, in the amateur version of the race yesterday, I observed a lot of toys being thrown out of prams by people who are being caught up in someone else's failure to choose the right gear or just flipping out of their cleat. I think you do want to get up to the front, but that's no mean feat, because we saw on the television that they're coming along at a hell of a clip along some of these some of these roads here.
Yeah, they really are, and I think you're right. Getting stuck in the middle is going to be bad. You imagine having to when you see the riders when they've had a puncture restarting on the flat, they need someone to help push them to get going. No way they're going to get going again on the on this kind of a slope. So imagine they have to walk to the top and then get back on board there.
Yeah, the course wiggles around quite a bit, which gives you plenty of opportunity to catch up with it as it sort of takes a big loop. And we're going to hope to see it here, then have a bit of lunch and a beer or something, and then get in the camper van and motor over to the Mur.
Yeah, Gerardsbergen.
Gerardsbergen, I think. Which is the place where it all happens, because if this wall, I saw it yesterday, it was very funny. It's not a serious place for a bicycle race, but anyway, it's a tradition around here. They like it, and we're going to enjoy watching the racers come up over it. Leading group just passed there, and they were crawling up, weren't they, William? They were absolutely crawling up.
I've never seen a professional cyclist go so slowly.
It's so hard. It's so tough, this road. So is Sylvain Chavanel out in front in that leading group? Did I ever hear that man saying? Well, I hope so. It's my favourite rider these days. As the second group is somewhat behind. I think this is the Boonen group. This is the group with Tom Boonen in it. For Tom Boonen, and he's with the front of the main group. Oh, there's a fellow's walking. Oh dear, what's happened to him? It looks like he's got a mechanical or something. Some guys having real trouble here with their gears. Basically, they just haven't got the gears to winch themselves up. There's a guy carrying his bike. He's doing a bit of cyclocross. Good on him. He's not going to give up. Francis Desjeux bringing up the rear. Oh no, there's more. This is a huge field. And some of the riders are just not geared correctly for this climb. Some of them are turning the pedals over at a reasonable rate, but others are just really struggling. So what do you think of that, William?
That was incredible. I haven't seen anyone go so slowly in a pro bike race ever. They were in pain. Thomas Voeckler went past with his tongue almost hitting his knees. It was out so far. Incredible. But Boonen's right at the front of the chasing group. Made it by the skin of our teeth through the ingenuity of multimodal cycle sport tourism, the camper van plus the folding bicycles and collapsible bicycles, and we made it to the Keppelmoor, which is this extraordinary cobblestone hill. It's the kind of hill that I think in any other country, if they suggested it be introduced into a bicycle race, the commissaires would just go, no, you're being silly. Now stop being silly and give us a proper race. In Belgium, this is the kind of thing that they enjoy. And we saw the riders going up it, basically. What do you think? Well, it's brilliant timing to start with. We saw the leaders come through the town square at the bottom of this hill. We raced up, leisurely, and then made it to the really steep section on a kind of funny hairpin around this lump of a hill in this town. And the faces on the riders was amazing. Just a picture of pain.
And then at the top, we couldn't work out who was in the lead, who was winning, but the race was won by somebody. And there were still riders coming over the wall, the moor, with still 15 kilometres yet to race, which tells you something about how strung out the race got in the period between when we last saw it and where we are now. So, you know, as often happens on these kinds of trips out to watch a bicycle race, you're here, you're close to it, but you don't know who the hell won, and you have to probably wait until the next day to find out. So there we go. Terrific day. And I have a little matter of a 50-kilometer ride to get back to the Eurostar. We're just being passed by a clown who's walking up the half-naked clown walking up the hill. And you're back off under the tunnel.
Yes.
And run for it.
Back in the camper and then back in the Euro tunnel and we'll be home this evening. Very good.
Well, I had an exceptionally beautiful ride back to Lille, quite fast because I had to make it and catch my train. And I also wanted to get back in time to have some supper in Lille. So I put the hammer down a little bit. And just after I crossed over the border from Belgium into France, I picked up the route of the Paris-Roubaix. They'd already put the signs up, the arrows pointing the way, and I was able to follow the route over the last couple of cobblestone stretches and then all the way up to the doors of the velodrome, and that was really fun. And I'm very excited about tomorrow's race. I'm expecting a Quick-Step rider to do well. They dominated the Tour of Flanders, and Stijn de Volder, a worthy champion, but Tom Boonen was looking pretty good. Sylvain Chavanel had a great ride riding for the team. He's my top rider. I like him. He was a brilliant racer in the Tour de France, really aggressive in a lot of the breakaways. And I also like him because in the off-season at the end of last year, he managed to injure himself in a way that I definitely approve of. He managed to cut open his hand with an oyster knife. And that's the kind of gourmet cyclist that I like. None of these energy bars and gels. A diet of oysters is what's driving Sylvain Chavanel. I think it's going to be tough for Sylvain to win the Paris-Roubaix. It's the first time he's competed in the race, even though he's 29 years old. So I think he'll be working hard for the team. But I do expect a Quick-Step win. But, you know, you never know. It depends what the weather's going to be like, really. We're running a little sweepstake here on the bike show to identify correctly the part of George Hincapie's bike that will break in tomorrow's race and let him down. So if you've got an idea about which part of George Hincapie's bike is going to bust during the race, I think he's had broken handlebars, broken wheels, all kinds of other mechanicals in the past. We're expecting the same again tomorrow, but a prize awaits the person who correctly identifies the bit of George Hincapie's bike that's going to break tomorrow. So email your entries to bikeshow@gmail.com. And please do take that listener's survey. If you haven't done it, you can find it on The Bike Show's website, www.thebikeshow.net. We are making plans for the next season and your views are really important. One of the things that the survey has told me is that I need to do a better job of identifying the music that's played on the show. So what you heard in that piece on the trip to Flanders was, in the order that they appeared, Trans Europe Express by the 8-bit group Receptors, Antistatique by the Belgian hip-hoppers Starflam, Under Stars from Brian Eno, and finally Nummer Eén by De Kruyners, also from Belgium. So that's all for now from this Spring Classics special podcast-only edition of The Bike Show.